Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go. Welcome to Red Cup.
The most craziest podcast ever. I know what you're going to do. And no.
What are you talking about? This today. I was going to say, I'm not Ocho Cinco. Oh. You are.
Okay. I'm MVIN.
And this be.
I'm Zia.
How you doing today, Zia?
I'm doing fabulous. How about yourself?
Good. You ready to talk about what's in your cup?
Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's get into it.
Because you know what's in your cup ain't got nothing to do with what's in my cup.
Exactly. I do know.
But that don't mean we can't talk
about
it.
Can't talk about it.
So let's talk about it.
That's exactly what I was saying that you're trying to do. I know. I see the move that you were, you know, okay.
It's okay.
So what's up? How was your week, man?
It was good. Okay. I'm thinking about going to get... Should I? I don't know whether I should or should not go get a cup of coffee from Starbucks right now, though.
What? Oh, yeah. I saw the the Starbucks thing.
So for everybody who may not have been part of the viral movement that happened this morning, Starbucks in Philadelphia, a specific Starbucks in Philadelphia, apparently it seems as if you had two African American males sitting down waiting for a realtor partner to come in to have a meeting, an employee of Starbucks. We mm-hmm. don't know who this person is, gender, race, but we can assume which race it was.
Yeah. Was it confirmed that it was an employee, though?
It was an employee. Wow. It was confirmed an employee called the police because these two gentlemen did not buy anything, but they were waiting for a business partner to come have a meeting with them. Mm-hmm. They call the police. Police show up, arrest them. Okay. So should we boycott Starbucks now?
The first thing that I would say is, I like how those young men handled the arrest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, there were no violence. They were just like, okay.
They were very calm.
You guys are here to arrest us. Okay. Where do I stand? You know, handcuffs. Okay. That's it. And I think that's how we should handle it. Even though sometimes the cops will go on a tangent, but at least we don't want to give them reasons. Because this is what happened. Right after that, they got released. And now...
It took almost 24 hours for them to get released.
But the point is, they got released and they're going to file a lawsuit.
And for somebody who has been arrested, it took 24 hours because... their background probably had to go through Interpol, right. CIA, FBI, all those checks.
My question here is, the cops just walked up to them and like, we're going to arrest you?
Well, those are the details we don't know.
It's a business. And if one of the employee in the business or somebody in the business or a manager calls and say we need those people to go, the cops will go ahead and have you to go. Now how they do it is different. They can come and talk to you or they can arrest you, but you have to leave. Now the funny thing is Starbucks has a policy where you can just stand there and do whatever you want even though you're not buying anything. They have a, how they call it, out of the office policy.
I'm glad you put on that because I was going to bring up. I used to work for Starbucks.
Yeah.
Oh, did you?
So yeah. They came.
So this is the point. Thickens. This is the point I was going to bring up. Howard Schultz, who was the CEO of Starbucks, is one of my favorite. Is one of my favorite CEOs.
Yeah.
And one thing that Howard Schultz that I've always hold on, you may
just
is
just
it working? Can you hear me?
I can't hear you. Okay. Everybody can hear you. You're the only one that can't hear.
Okay.
Just let it.
All right. Well, Howard Schultz being one of my favorite CEOs, one thing that I've always appreciated about him, his desire for community. And while working at Starbucks, he created this thing called like the third place or fourth place environment, which was Starbucks wanted you to go home, go to work, maybe church, and then come to Starbucks, whether you have to go to the bathroom or just get a cup of water. He wanted Starbucks to be part of your community, which is why before he started coming into black communities, he partnered with Magic Johnson. Because he's like, there's no way I can go in here and sell $5-$6 cup of coffee. But Magic Johnson was the one who lobbied him and said, no, yes, you can. Right. Now, bringing that back up to this situation now, here's a situation where I have with us as a whole automatically jumping out and just protesting an individual action of somebody who's not in line with the corporate standards. Starbucks is a company, they have partnered with villages over in the continent of Africa.
Yeah.
And
they are really involved in everything, every aspect, like with people in Africa, overseas.
Yeah, Starbucks has involved people in Africa, people in South America.
What has been their response to that video?
And that's what I'm saying. Their response to the video is everybody sees the same 45 seconds. So as a corporation, they have to go in and say, hey, we have to investigate what happened. We understand what this video is showing. From the court of black opinion, we already know what happened.
Oh, like guilty.
Yeah, we already know. Like these racist brothers walking, because you see the realtor brothers sitting there saying, what did they do? And then you got white people all around the Starbucks saying they didn't do anything. They were just sitting there.
Yeah.
We don't.
And a lot of them were like, I do the exact same thing.
Yeah. And a lot of them came out and said, I do the exact same thing. You got people who go and write screenplays while sitting at Starbucks and all they do is order water.
Yeah.
And that's part of what Howard Schultz wanted people to do when they came to Starbucks.
I was actually thinking we can shoot that podcast in a Starbucks, but
I think our next one should be in a Starbucks.
I think we should. Like, just sit there and see if we can get arrested.
And not order anything.
There. Why not?
Yeah.
And not order anything.
Well, then again, because we
I made some water, though.
If we using cameras, they may actually be concerned about privacy. So I'm probably going to have to find a way to come around with a camera. But
my main thing, all right, so protests. Are you no longer down with Starbucks as it is?
Well, I'm not that big on Starbucks in the first place. You know, like, I like some things there, but I'm like, oh, I need to go to Starbucks.
Yeah, I'm the same thing too. I don't really go out to Starbucks. I don't really drink stuff at Starbucks. The only thing that I get is the croissant, because that's the only thing that reminds me of Paris.
I'm a coffee drinker.
Here's one thing though. Mm. I feel like even if there's a protest. First of all, you have to understand, most of the people that drink Starbucks are white. So they're not even concerned about this. They're like, well, you know what? That's not our problem. That's one. And then two, it's just going to be like the H&M. We're just going to make a lot of noise. But to be honest, we're not really going to stop shopping at those places. We're going to post stuff online. We're going to start saying they're racist. But deep inside, you know you're going to catch one of your brothers over there at Starbucks.
It's not even about catching them. Like, you're looking at a brother right here. I don't necessarily go to Starbucks. So I used to work. I worked at Starbucks through college.
Yeah.
I own stock in the company from working there through college.
Oh, are you going to sell your stocks now?
No, heck no. I'm not crazy. I almost sold them, but then Howard came back. But at the same time, you're looking at somebody. I don't go to the store, but I make the Starbucks coffee in my apartment, where I live. Yeah. So I buy the Starbucks one because I get a discount it because of where I currently work.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do like their coffee.
You have all these fancy perks.
Yeah, it's a fancy perks. It's a lifestyle, you know. It's hard work.
You gotta stop that style. First
you
of all,
Starbucks
you gotta understand.
If
we were supposed to get mad at Starbucks, there's a lot of stuff that we should get mad, because that's the first process of being gentrification. You notice that a Starbucks shows up in your neighborhood.
Not necessarily. Here, here's where I'm disappointed.
So you're saying
you live in Inglewood, right?
You see,
that's the first
Starbucks
sign. When you see a Starbucks, see a Mickey D's, you can see and you still won't ask, but when you see a Starbucks, that's where you're like, okay, I know what they're doing now. That's why they're like, okay, we're gonna start owning shit.
I feel like now if you see a Pete's Coffee or something like that, it's more of a,
what is Pete's Coffee? Pete's Coffee, that's like when they,
that's real,
you know, among
that's,
white people.
Pete's is really bougie.
Coffee.
Listen, Pete's is extremely among white people. I believe that there is also some kind of gentrification, so they're trying to get
Pete's
some
coffee
couple
was like just a neighborhood little.
Okay, but before we get too far, but before we get too far off, here's my thing with the Starbucks incident. We are all in a position as business owners, as people, where you can have an individual within your organization who does something that's against your corporate policy. Okay. Like, a lot of individuals are connecting this to what happened with Houston's restaurant. When Houston's down in Atlanta, where you had the African Americans.
I heard about it, but I didn't.
Well, yeah, you had the African Americans, like a group of like 10 or 12 who were going to have some lunch, and they were like, you can't sit together. They gave them every kind, and then they said, it's part of our policy.
Yeah.
And then Houston's had to come down and say, yes, this is part of our policy.
Wow.
But it was enacted inappropriately.
Yeah, okay.
Here's the situation at Starbucks. You have a Starbucks where an individual is going, and you have an individual within that Starbucks. It's who makes a decision to do something that's against corporate policy. No different from all these videos we've seen with McDonald's employees or employees from other companies who have done things to burgers, who have fought other people across the who have spit in people's food, where they make an individual decision, but then everybody wants to blame the corporate structure. And I guess I'm arguing that Starbucks is one of those companies that it's hard for me to say, oh, the whole institution is
look at
racist.
That. But he was the first one that was blaming H&M about who they are wrong.
We'll get into that.
Anyway.
So you don't believe H&M was wrong?
I believe the same way Starbucks is wrong.
What's the difference between that situation?
What's the difference between H&M and Starbucks?
Yeah.
And we'll get back to that. Hold on. Anyway, we're going to get right back to that.
We're going to go on a quick break.
We're going to pick up right there. What is the difference between H&M and Starbucks?
Okay. Keep it locked. We on the Red Go Podcast. And we're back.
Welcome back.
Oh, man.
It's your boy, Not Out Your Cinco. He goes by
MPIN.
And our special guest host today, in the absence of E. Missy K, we have Zia.
Hi, everybody. What's up?
Now, Zia, you asked a very important question. What's the difference between H&M and Starbucks?
What's the difference?
In the response. Or?
Even in the whole concept.
Okay, so if you separate
if you separate
the two companies, H&M is a company started out of the English-British movement that from jump is
European
movement that from jump has taken advantage of slave labor who has.
The funny thing is H&M is actually started by
I thought it was out of Scotland.
No. It's European.
It's
I was thinking
for sure.
Forever 21.
It's definitely European clothes.
Yeah. Forever 21, those are Asians, but
So okay. H&M is a company that has historically has a record of showing prejudice, judgmental ads in their
allegedly.
In the international court, allegedly. In the court of public opinion, when it comes to black people who have a certain hue, they're guilty. So, okay.
What about the slave shops?
How the EFF group down out of South Africa, the economic freedom fighters have been fighting against H&M for years.
No, they only got upset recently because of that t-shirt.
The t-shirt ad sparked what they've been preaching this whole time about H&M being a company that has no interest in people who have a different hue from them. I mean, everybody saw the, you know, I'm the coolest monkey in the jungle sweater. But
which for me, I still till today did not see why. The funny thing
and,
is he wasn't
guess
even.
Guess what? It was ugly too, just like.
But
the
if you look at the
branding.
Whole ad, if you look at the whole ad, they had a Middle Eastern boy, with a shirt on that said "I'm the bomb." They had like an Asian looking kid with something about animals. Like the whole ad was disrespectful in such a way it showed.
And Starbucks that have that lady calling the cop. Just because two black guys.
That's the thing. And that's what I say. That's an individual decision.
So, okay.
That's
so
the individual problem.
H&M is a corporate response to just who they are. I'm saying Starbucks is a situation.
So that's what you're saying. The difference is.
Yeah, there's a difference in these things.
You basically, know, H&M is corporate wide, but the Starbucks was created.
Yeah, I agree, but
for me, I'm like, if you're not making a big deal about, because think about it. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people in Starbucks star racist and I'm pretty sure that's not the first time that this happens.
We can't hide people being prejudiced and racist.
Yeah,
you
so
hide it. This is why it's important.
So it's the same thing when H&M did that stuff, you know.
But it then I also think too, people's skin is not thick enough too. Everybody is just on this, oh, you said this and you offended me,
and that's
pig.
You know what, I'm
you
so
know,
glad you said
that, to
that. Because
that's exactly
what I've been telling everyone, like just what you said, like
the sports entertainer, who's that guy, the OKC guy.
OKC.
Yeah, well, Yes. Like the OKC guy.
What was his name again?
It's something Davis. It's something Davis. I forgot.
Is he black or white?
No, he's super white. But here's the thing, though.
I think it's Brian something.
It's Brian Davis.
Brian Davis.
I think what he was saying actually was, according to what everybody's saying, it's a Southern lingo that they really use in the South. I've never heard that. But
I've heard it before.
But it's a Southern lingo.
Yeah.
That they use. So
Brian Davis.
Of course, when you have now movements like Me Too or Black Lives Matter or everything that is causing America to be so polarized.
Did you hear what she just said?
What? I didn't hear.
We'll go back to it.
But when you have all this that's making Americans so polarized, you're not surprised that even someone, I mean, even we had a conversation. Is it wrong for white people to wear dashiki? I can't believe this is a subject of conversation.
Here's the thing in the conversation. And this is how
is
they
it
play
wrong
the,
for white people to wear dashiki?
Apparently it is in America.
Apparently,
I had some friends that couldn't wear dashiki to go see Black Panther. They were like, I can't. Why? Because I felt threatened by
white
people.
No, that was in their mind. They created that in their own mind.
And see, this is how they divide us as a people.
Yeah.
It's a cultural appropriation. Apparently.
But NBA, we talked about this.
Who said that, though? Who the hell said that? Hey,
I'm about to tell you right now.
I'm not going to lie to you. I know. I can't tell the name, but I know at least five black people that told me exactly that. They can't wear that because it's cultural appropriation. You have a video on Facebook or YouTube about that girl talking about how, what's her name? The singer, Bruno Mars, is doing cultural appropriation. And I'm like, really?
No, Taylor Swift is doing a cultural appropriation, trying to cover Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's cultural appropriation. We can get into that too.
But
in regards to what you're talking about right now, this is where the lines are so blurred with the woke community to just a conscious black community. When I'm talking about going to Starbucks and getting a cup of coffee and an individual who does not share the same hue as I do feels threatened by two brothers, and she or he decides to make a phone call to the police department in a I feel threatened manner, they need to be removed from here. It's totally different from Starbucks having a corporate structure of saying this is not allowed. When we see in Starbucks corporate structure, you can go into Starbucks, use the bathroom, you can go in Starbucks, get some water, you can go in there and sit all day. That's part of their culture structure, like come in here and sit, chill. They don't mind. This is why people come in. Now, in regards to what you're saying,
get back to Starbucks. We agree with you about Starbucks.
Let me tell you something. He's saying all that crap because he doesn't want to boycott Starbucks. How many Starbucks you get in a week?
Probably one.
Probably one. So you go to Starbucks once every week?
No, I make a Starbucks cup of coffee once a week.
Oh, no. Remember he said he makes it in his own apartment.
I don't go to Starbucks.
Oh, you don't go? But you still give them that money.
See,
right? This
is what's in your cup that's being agitating right now.
See?
Because you're asking how we got back to Starbucks, because the foundation of what we were saying led us into the cultural appropriation conversation that he's bringing up, which you question about a white person wearing dashiki. And as a group, okay, one Marvin, African. You and I, Black American. So a lot of his views.
Talk to the mic.
A lot of his views come from a different type of upbringing than you and I. We're actually being put against each other in a lot of these discussions. Now, whether a white person, whether a white person wears a dashiki or not, I don't care.
Listen, it's not cultural appropriation because for me, I see black people doing cultural appropriation every February. Mm-hmm. Right. So for me, y'all both doing the same. When I say y'all, I mean African Americans.
Yeah, because you know I'm both doing this, your DM.
The exact same thing.
I don't
think
it's anything wrong with white people wearing dashiki
I can tell where
they're strange.
It is distinct, but here's the thing though. I can tell where like African American can feel like it's cultural appropriation because they have not. Like every time that in this country, first of all, we have not experienced racism and slavery the same way. Mm-hmm. Slavery was abolished way, well, technically, because what they did is they changed the way they do the slavery. But slavery, like mm-hmm. we know and we talk about in history, has been abolished a long time ago,
right,
before America. So mm-hmm. there was a lot of stuff that black people were able to do, which here African American were not able to do. So based on that, there's that experience. So like example, we were able to see white people assimilate African culture a long time ago, but right. it's something that is new here. And it, because you guys are fresh from segregation in a certain way.
Yep.
So like example, me seeing a white person wearing dashiki, I see it all the time.
Right.
I went to a restaurant and it was a Moroccan restaurant.
Algerians.
The people that were in there, Algerian, and people that were in there were French, white. Like snow.
Yeah.
And for me, yeah, it's like this, because a lot of them are actually assimilating. And that's the beauty of, not beauty, but that's the consequences of what it was when you were colonized. Like we were colonized.
Colonizers.
Like, so we what happened is white people came
y'all
in.
Y'all were colonized,
and
we were enslaved.
Either mix or either subdue. When they tried submission, it worked. Then after that, they were like, no, you know what? Let's not do submission. Let's go ahead and assimilate. So white people wearing dashiki, it's something we see all the time. I see white people calling themselves Africans all the time. But I don't see a lot of African Americans saying that they're Africans. A lot of them, when you be like, oh, you're African, you're like, no. Why? Because I've never been to Africa. Dude, there's only one continent that give you that skin color. Like, you
that
can't
part,
escape.
That part.
But then at the same time, let's not walk away from that same continent. Yeah. Doesn't accept us as African.
Is that a myth? No, the reason why I'm saying that, that
he
because,
knows it's not
because
a myth.
It's a few that will say that. Let me, and because again, there is like the way African American are,
right?
And the way Africans see that, Africans right. see African American first Americans, and unfortunately, mm. Americans have the tendency of when they show up somewhere, they impose their stuff.
And
like they impose their culture. Mm. You gotta assimilate to me, not the opposite.
And
so
the
there's already
part,
that. And then the second thing is now we are seeing people of the same you as us coming in there saying, no, we're not doing
you know,
this.
That's so
we are
strange
this.
That you would say that, you know, when Americans go somewhere, they make you conform to us.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. If right now a Chinese guy comes here, he will have to learn English and he will actually have to, when he goes to the store, he will actually have to make sure that he speaks some English in order for him to communicate. Americans are the only mm. one that will get upset when they go somewhere and be like, you don't understand English? How come? Like they go places and they ask for a burger. And you're like, you realize that this is China, right? Like you won't find it. What? You don't have French fries here?
Well, that's, you going into,
but anyway,
you're going into
that's
a different
another
discussion.
Tangent. So, yeah,
that was a tangent. But in regards to what we're talking about, cultural appropriation.
We're talking about Starbucks. How is
Starbucks.
It different from Starbucks?
I already said what I need to say about Starbucks.
And we're
and
talking about the white dude using
cotton picking mine.
Okay, so.
It's just another word for MF-er.
There's a famous sports commentator by the name of Howard Cosell.
Huh.
Howard Cosell is widely known as one of the greatest sports commentators mm. in the history of sports journalism. Mm. Howard Cosell is widely known because of Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Howard Cosell was the commentator that would go back and forth with Muhammad Ali.
Okay.
You know, Howard Cosell had that famous Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier says you're this and he says you're that. And then Ali would look at him and be like, Cosell, I'm fighting you next. How about that? And
so
they built
that?
This relationship. And yeah. Cosell was a big part of how of Ali when he got out of jail, getting him back to fighting Joe Frazier.
So why does
that
have
I
to
say all
with
that
the...
to say Howard Cosell was actually fired and released. It was a Monday night. It was a football game. I think it was a Monday night football game. There's a breakaway run, and Howard Cosell is on the mic, and he says, look at that monkey go.
Ooh.
Never heard from Howard Cosell again.
Right there. Like, he used the word monkey. If he would actually have the same play and he was a white dude, it would have been no problem. But what America does, America
sells white.
But what I'm trying to say is, if he was referring to a white dude, he was probably speaking in terms of, look at this dude go.
Yeah, he wasn't NFL, necessarily he was a black runner. I don't know. I forget who was running.
It just happened that the person was black, where he said, look at this monkey.
Was the
go.
Person black who was running?
Absolutely. Yeah. It was the NFL.
Oh. And that's why they fired him, because people were like, oh, you just.
Not to say like, oh, yeah. I'm
pretty sure he wasn't really calling. He doesn't walk around call. It basically was using the wrong context. Like you know, it just so happened the person that did the play was a black guy.
And he was a look at
it. Because think about it. You know how many times I hear black family be like, if you don't take your monkey ass, this thing. But it's just as figure as me. That's the way they talk. And he wasn't probably talking about the black guy as he's being a monkey. He was just talking in the sentence, and all of a sudden he was like, okay, you know
what?
But
the funny thing about Brian Davis, what he said about Russell Wilson, he paused before he said it. He was like, he's out of his cotton picking.
Because here's the thing though, he wanted to use the MF word.
See?
He wanted to use the MF word.
Oh, you want to say, so you're arguing he wanted to say mother effing.
That's exactly what they use. That's exactly what they use. He wanted to see mother effing.
Here's the thing. I think it was wrong for him to say that.
No.
I don't think. Okay,
that's why he thinks so. Yeah.
Let me say, it was wrong for him to say that. He should not lose his job. Maybe get suspension for one game. There are things at your job that we do on a day-to-day basis that you shouldn't do, but that means you shouldn't get fired for it. In this situation, I don't know this commentator. But also within the political climate that we're in right now, with the sensitivity where there are situations like a Starbucks feels comfortable, a Starbucks employee feels comfortable to call the police on black patrons.
Okay, so when he said it, how did the other people respond?
Live on the air.
It was live. Now everybody was like, everybody got quiet.
Day,
like,
no,
did
okay,
he just
so
oh, did like, they?
Yeah, they was like, did he just say?
Yeah.
But they just kept going. But this is what I'm saying. We are in a political climate now where an employee at Starbucks can feel comfortable to call the police on a black patron. H&M can feel like pushing ass like this. Groupon can feel comfortable. Groupon can feel comfortable with putting out boots called Nigger Brown. We're in a climate like, oh, they elected this guy, so it's okay. No, it's not okay. And so it's not okay to say these other things, because here's the flip side. As a community, we debate like, oh, it's cool for him to say that. It's cool for her to say that. But let it be in a Jewish anti-Semitic statement. Oh, TV would have been shut down. They'd have stopped the whole program.
I don't necessarily.
That's why
I'm sometimes saying that, you know, maybe it's
I
me
think
coming
I'm
in
with
from.
You.
Yeah. Because let me tell you something. Views. Like, America's, it's not only now, it's way before. Black people have stigmas from the way they were treated back in the days. So,
no,
like example,
the way we're still treated
like right
today.
Now, like right now.
Last time I checked, Stephon Clark just got shot by the police not too many weeks ago.
Like right now, white people feel uncomfortable using even the word black, even referring to color. Like they can say, "Oh, that's that black kid."
Yes,
but we get to say that's that white guy.
Yes,
and let me tell you something. Like you know how you use the word Caucasian?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The same term, when you refer to people, are you, is Negroid. But you can't use Negroid, which is the actual term that has been used, because black people feel offended. Like, we are now making, like, white people, y'all can use this, and y'all can use this. Because y'all did that to us, and because we get to choose. It's like the victim saying to you, how now you should live your life because you did this to me. Which I understand, you know, the person did something to you and you still feel it, but you can't tell somebody how now to live their life because of what they have done in the past.
No, but it's not just in the past. It's still relevant today. Wow. The things that we are arguing are still happening today.
Go ahead.
I just think that some of it is petty. Like him saying cotton picking mine, that's petty.
Yeah.
The H&M thing, putting the monkey on the black kid, that was racist. I just think that some things is like, come on now, get over it. Just taking it too far.
And on that note, we're going to come on a quick break.
Yeah, we should.
Because I feel like this conversation
I'm coming
is
back
going.
For you.
Okay.
You done got to find a partner in crime.
This is the Red Cup. We're going to a quick break and we're going to be back.
Where's Missy?
All right.
Are we back?
Oh, so we back. As you can notice,
we're kind of short.
We got kicked short. Out. First of all, we got kicked out of the other awesome room where
we got colonized.
You know, the colonizer forgot. Somebody forgot to do the reservations.
Our reservation was overlapped, and we got colonized.
The people that actually did the reservation for this time, I'm not gonna go into details.
Dim people,
it was your fault.
It was my fault.
Your fault. But you know, we back in the studio that we had, and who cares? It's a podcast.
We're in Studio A. We're back in Studio A.
It's a podcast. Nobody really.
But we're short.
Oh yeah, Zia gotta go.
Zia.
Because she had to go. She got some commitments. You know, she got business. She got bills to pay.
She has some vocal things.
Unfortunately, we won't have her for a segue. But it was nice to have her input and know exactly.
But it's even better to be back to the man cave.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And talking about man cave, you know what? Enough talking about America and how it's polarized. Let's transition to something that is more, in, you know, more joyful. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, let's do it. Missy's not here. She ain't here. We can go ahead and talk about this without any disruption.
One thing in the news that I saw, Tristan Thompson.
What about him?
Hey.
It was a setup.
It wasn't like
it was a setup.
Last week we were talking about cheaters. Uh-huh. And I think that the show was just setting up so we can talk about this today. Like,
man.
First of all, a little back story. Tristan Thompson. Baller, NBA baller, mm-hmm. dating one of the Kardashians.
Of which the Kardashian, remember we talked about side chicks.
Yeah.
The Kardashian was the side chick.
He
had his
Khloe.
First girl,
you know, he was
who got pregnant.
Exactly. Yeah. And now he got caught cheating. First, I agree with you. I think it was a setup.
It was a setup.
Because whatever came out, like, whatever proof came out that he was cheating was stuff that happened like what 7 months ago, what seven
what at
six
the club
months ago. Yeah,
I don't know when
that was stuff that happened a long while. I think it was when she was 3 months.
Well, they had pictures with Gabrielle Union in the back, and Gabrielle Union was like, "I had nothing to do with this. I was out with my mom and my aunt. Y'all can kill this right
now." She was
now.
Like, "Hey man, don't give me the cosign that shit."
There's like a picture with. So I don't know the exact date of the TMZ.
Well,
man, TMZ, dude.
Here's my thing.
They be wrecking people's lives.
Like the girls that actually posted all that information.
Right.
Whatever is him cheating or whatever it was. It was something that happened when Khloe was 3 months pregnant. Why you wait until now to come out with? I'm pretty sure this is what I believe had happened. First of all, the girl, she's an Instagram model.
She is.
She is.
I don't know this part about her.
One of them is.
You know, I'm not going to do that
apparently
much research on.
Apparently, that's a new job now, Instagram modeling. But anyway, she was involved in Instagram modeling. And from what we hear, she has pictures. She has text. She had videotape of them having sex.
Hey. Oh, so this
I'm pretty
is
sure
like
she was like, hey, Tristan, you got two things. Either so, you pay me some money. Or
so she sold it to TMZ.
Yeah, she sold it to TMZ.
She sold it to TMZ.
To make
so she probably hired the cameraman who knew the room. Because I was questioning, there's a video edit that TMZ has of one of their videographers who's actually shooting into the room that they're in. And I'm like, how would you know that? Who knows to be on building
this
at this time,
or this angle,
and to shoot at this angle,
I mean,
into
that,
this
that
room?
Again, you know, those reporters, they actually bribe people to have scoops and insight. So it's not really.
I think the Tristan Thompson incident is a setup. Now on to outside of the setup, because that's not the debate. It's there's a man who cheated
but
on his
he didn't
girl.
Cheat with only one. He cheated with two.
Or three.
He got one.
When there's a third one.
He got two. There's, on the side.
Yeah, there's a third one. So here's the thing. When you date somebody who is as popular or as wealthy as a Tristan Thompson, when they go out, do they get a pass? I feel like some men, women, I'm kind of like this with women I've dated. Look, okay. Do what you do. I just don't want to know about it. As long as I feel like I'm my attention, everything, okay, and my needs are met.
All right.
As long as I don't know, do what you're going to do.
You know what? My take in the whole situation is way different. First of all, Princeton, don't you know that the Kardashian pussy is cursed? listen. If you just got, there is nothing in that. Like, you know the movie, when they were doing the movie Get Out?
Yeah.
Kanye, should I be like, bro, get out.
But Kanye was still with Kim.
But my point is, once you get in that pussy, you are cursed. So,
goes down. Look.
You
to me, that says something about that pussy.
Well, that remains crazy.
I mean, all I'm saying, we can talk about how many they have destroyed and whatever. And I'm saying, look at the track record of leave it.
And on top of that, no, you mean how many people left because they knew that it was
cursed? Who left?
James Harden left Khloe because that pussy was cursed. Look at what that pussy did to Lamar Odom. Look at what that pussy did to French Montana. He was like, I'm not gonna go with that program. Bye.
But what was the program?
Here's the thing. Once you get with that pussy, your career goes down. That's it. Tristan Thompson, before he started dating Kim,
here's the thing about the Kardashians. You could be taking them down with nobody knowing. These men were coming out publicly saying, I'm dating James Harden, French Montana. They only dated one sister.
What? Who?
They all dated Khloe.
Not only that, but look at Kanye. When was the last time
Kanye married Kim?
He married Kim, but he's still cursed.
And gave her two kids.
He's still cursed. Look what happened.
He's still making hits.
What hits? Tell me.
He got artists on Good Music.
What was the name of
Big Sean is signed to Kanye?
I didn't say Big Sean. I said Kanye. I said when you hit that pussy, your career, not other people around you.
Kanye's still doing his thing.
What was the name of his last album?
The Life of Pablo.
The Life of Pablo. How many songs do you know from there?
Probably not.
How many songs you know from college, from Graduation?
College Dropout. The first three albums?
Graduation.
Yeah.
And guess what? Right after it, even the brass album that he had, the 808 beats, you can name at least 2-3 songs from it.
When I started falling off with Kanye, because he started speaking a different language. That had nothing to do with Kim. He wasn't messing with
pussy,
Kim.
Man, once he hit that Kardashian pussy, look what the pussy did to Bruce.
Bruce was like that before he got to them.
What happened to Bruce, man?
Dude, Bruce was that before. Bruce was like that with his previous one or two.
It's my podcast. I can use pussy as I want. If you don't like it. Anyway, point is, listen, that Kardashian pussy is cursed. Ask Tiger. He would tell you.
Yeah.
The only time he works for you is if you're a female. China. And you can bank from it. Other than that, dude, nah. Look what's that?
So let's get back.
Look at Scott. I mean, I can go on. There is no man that hit that pussy and still survive. Like, I'm not talking about like survive like literally, but at least was man. On top of the game. People, you can't hit that pussy.
I mean,
it's a good thing. That means that pussy probably good, but like, you want to gamble, man. Look, James Harden was hitting that. Once he started seeing that his numbers started dropping, drop her ass.
He was arguably MVP when he was hitting that.
No. When he started dating her, actually, I think he was injured at that time. Like, he was playing, and all of a sudden he got injured. And then all of a sudden he started seeing less of James Harden with her. Same thing with French Montana. I mean, French was already married, but when he was hitting that pussy...
French was married when he was with Khloe?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. I had no idea.
Before that, he was hot. Then he started hitting that booty, and all of a sudden,
but this goes back. Okay, so here. Watch this. This goes back to what Missy's arguing last week in the show, which is you got these side chick girls who do everything. I feel like this.
The side chick. You can't have a side chick.
Hold on, let me finish.
Not a Kardashian.
I feel like this. Kardashian or not, you in a relationship and you dealing with a side chick girl, and that side chick girl, all of a sudden you want to make her number one, there's some karma that comes behind that. Listen, and I think Kardashian,
Steve Harvey did that. What karma came back to Steve Harvey? He's a successful Steve Harvey. That's what happened with Steve Harvey. He left his wife for somebody else, and now he's a successful businessman, you know, with a great show.
That's a grown ass man. He has a difference.
That's what I'm saying, because that pussy ain't. I'm telling
you had a different. I put it like this: Steve Harvey going through a situation,
okay,
where he is divorcing his wife, separating his wife, telling his wife, "I don't want to be here," and being on some grown man shit.
Okay.
And let me finish.
Go ahead. Okay.
So you're comparing Steve Harvey to young boys. And what I mean by that is Steve Harvey, I'm going to argue, yeah, he did some stuff within a relationship, but solidified that along the way. Huh?
He still cheated.
But we're not. Your argument was Kardashians drag you down. Yes, Steve Harvey found. So basically you're saying Steve Harvey found the side chick that elevated him, as opposed to everybody else that got on Kardashian that de-escalated
him. What I'm saying is Steve Harvey or any other people cheating on their wife, we probably go up, but once you hit that Kardashian pussy, it gets you crazy. That Kardashian poom poom.
That's what I'm saying.
That Kardashian poom poom will get you to go down in your career. You won't go anywhere. You'll be a bum after that.
Which supports what I'm saying.
Okay.
As they must be carrying their good.
I don't ever want to find out.
But they must be carrying their good.
Anyway. We're going to come back on another subject real quick. We got tired of talking about pussy when there's no pussy around. You know?
What's that Gold Digger song? What's the Gold Digger song by Kanye?
She
a Gold Digger.
Hey, but she ain't messing around
with brokenness. The Kardashians have a record of not back, down to their mama.
We're going to make sure we talk in depth about that and move on.
Bruce Jenner wasn't the broke one.
All right, this is the Red Cup.
Red Cup TV. We'll be back.
Red Cup podcast. We back again. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Red Cup is
starting to hit us. That sounded so weird.
Really? Man. Listen. Anyway, so we're going to go ahead and make sure we'll close that topic about Christian. My only take about the Tristan Thompson is, you know what? You cheated. You're a dog. But you know what? You hit the double threat, because guess what? You cheated with a Kardashian.
Tristan needs.
And then now the Kardashian pussy is basically hurting your career.
Tristan needs a team. Tristan
needs a priest.
One,
he needs deliverance.
I think like this: when you are dating a Kardashian, not go out alone. Go out with a team that's going to protect you. Somebody's going to snatch
protect you.
I almost feel like the Kardashians and TMZ are business partners.
Dude, we have
like the TMZ.
You're
keeps
concerned about them being seen. I'm concerned about the career move they're making, and I'm concerned about the spirit around them. Because I'm telling you. Like right now, if Khloe shows up, I'd be like, Marvin, I want you to hit that. I'd be like, nope. I know that poop boom is cursed, man. And I believe she may put it on you. Hey, if she put
I'm
it
saying,
on me, if she back I'm, it up, I'm going to tell her, hey, put it on drive.
Regardless of, look, I'm not going to sit here and smear the Kardashians. Regardless of how I feel.
I'm not smearing about any facts. There's no man.
I'm not going to go to this place where I'm going to tear down the Kardashians. I put it like this. The Kardashians have. Huh?
You got hope you can hit that booty, right?
Nah, I'm good. I'm not even attracted to them. What? I like dark-skinned women.
Still, they're dark-skinned. Not darker, but they're dark-skinned. Light people, they're dark skin.
No. So.
Oh, shit.
And we can go into details about dark skin in another conversation.
Anyway,
but in the sense of Kardashians, if you would let me finish MVIN, my friend, I am saying there is something about the Kardashians as a family that, whether it be the poom poom or the family, that draws these men in to the point they are willing to publicly come out and say they date them, marry them, I impregnated them. Now, do they drag people down? Hey, I, 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 I'll argue this. When most of these men probably get involved with a Kardashian, they're not serious about having them long term. And the Kardashians are serious about being in long term relationships. Like, they're serious about the relationships.
Yeah.
They really are.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, one thing you can't say about the Kardashians and their relationships is that they're not loyal. They're very loyal.
Don't
and they
that.
Want to be with the men that they want to be with. But at the same time, they are part of the propaganda machine because that's what their family is built in. So you get involved with them, be prepared to live a straight and narrow life. Because not only is it going to be found if you try to keep it in closet, it's going to be exposed on TV because they always got a camera following them. Okay. Yeah, I think they got a production office in their house.
All right. I see that some people completely go with the program. Okay, no problem. Let's just move on. Let's move on. For me, I'm just saying, like, you sound like somebody that probably going to be like, hey, Kim, I'm here. I'm going to slide in your DM.
And nah, I'm cool.
Anyway, cool.
I don't need my entire life broadcast on national TV.
So, what else do you want to mention? Because there's been a lot. Actually, you know what? Let's talk about the Nicki Minaj.
I got a question for you.
What?
So, who would you rather? We can't say who would you rather be. Who would you rather be? Who would you rather support? Nicki Minaj, Cardi B, or both?
Honestly, support what in whatever is going on right
whatever's
now.
Whatever's going on right now.
I don't give
at this moment.
Both of them, I don't even like both of them. I think
what?
Look, I would listen to Nicki Minaj,
but
I don't really like the music. Let me tell you why, because I feel like she migrated from hip hop to pop music, and for me, it's popular music. And I am one of those people that think that right now, Cardi B is like the replacement of Nicki Minaj. She's not another MC. She's just a replacement because people got tired of hearing Nicki all the time. So now we got Cardi B. And what I am really pissed about is how I understand Cardi B had a difficult, difficult road when she came from nothing and now she's something, and in the music industry she came from the bottom and now she's at the top of the chart.
You talking about Nicki?
No, Cardi.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is, Cardi, listen, we understand and we know you came from the hood, but you do not have to be hood everywhere. And at one point of time, it's annoying. Grow up.
You know what? This is
evolve. Just because you came
you
from
just
the
made
hood.
A statement. But here's the thing. You just made a statement that is very, it's a broader conversation. When you're talking about, you talk about Cardi B coming from the slums and still being herself, you're also talking about a lot of maybe professional athletes or actors and actresses who come from the slums and they evolve where they're in these positions where they're still connected to where they came from, but they're living this identity of people they don't recognize. And one person that talks about that is Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar talked about this in his song,
yeah,
where he's like, I'm still Compton. But when I walk into this room, I don't see none but white people. So I have to, on a duality type place,
I have to adjust.
Dave Chappelle had to figure out this identity.
I have to adjust.
Yeah.
You can't be, and that's what I have a problem. People call it, oh, she's being real. No, she's not.
How is she not being real? That's who she is.
It's when you say being real doesn't mean when like example, if I'm in a room where I have a bunch of engineers. Let me say that. If I'm in a room with a bunch of engineers.
Have you heard her album?
Who?
Cardi B.
I heard half of the album. I stopped after five songs.
Why did you stop after five songs?
Because for me, when I was hearing it, it was almost the same thing as listening to Nicki Minaj. That's the way I feel. I feel like Cardi B is the replacement of Nicki Minaj. That's one. And then two, most of the song that has been out is about righteousness.
It's about what?
Being ratchet. Ratchet?
It's being about ratchet?
Being ratchet. And it's cool, but at one point of time, come on, man. Like, I want something else. That's two. I'm not saying that she's a bad person. And, you know, that's what sells. But at one point of time, we need to put, like, Beyonce has some hood songs and she has some good songs. Jay-Z does the same thing too. Other artists, you know, Alicia Keys, she has the same thing.
But when you're
too.
Talking about an artist of Jay-Z, Jay-Z evolved.
Yeah, and that's
like Jay-Z, you know, Hov sell dope. Hopefully you wouldn't have to sell. Like,
my thing
he
is,
evolved,
my thing is
he matured.
She should start evolving right now. Not.
She has one album and two mixtapes. She talks about, I mean, people have challenged her about her relationship with her mom.
When do you think it would be appropriate for her to change?
It may be when her daughter's born. Or her child, their child is born. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl.
So that's the only thing that makes you mature. That's the only thing that makes you say, you know what?
It's not the only thing.
I don't want to be a gang member anymore. And I think saying,
I know gang members who, when they had kids, they stopped. They said, I have more to live for now.
And that's my thing.
But why does it matter? But why does it matter what a person chooses to mature or what allows them to grow up and mature?
A public figure like her, people follow you and people want to be like you. And nah. You are
I feel like Cardi B is coming into this industry just like Kanye West. No. She did it by herself. If you compare, Kanye West came into the industry. No one thought he was a rapper. No one wanted to get. Everybody wanted Kanye to be a producer. Kanye was like, I'm a rapper. And he kept fighting and pushing and poking at that bubble until he showed people that he could be an MC. Cardi B's that same way. Cardi B has argued, fight, gotten to the industry. And now that she fought to get where she is, now everybody's like, oh, you got to change. And she's like, why do I have to change from what got me here? What got me here and got you telling me or even paying attention to me is me betting on myself.
Wait. When you say why you have to change, you have to change because you have to evolve. If you, that's how you survive in the industry. You evolve.
She's surviving in the industry.
You just said she just started. And basically for you, it's like, okay, she just have to be that particular until she has a daughter. So you have to wait until she has a daughter.
No, you asked a question when she mature.
When should be appropriate for you. And I think-
But the definition
once
of
you
mature-
have your first album, you have to think in the future. Okay, what can I do next?
But you're, okay.
But anyway, let's come back with the thing that she has with Nicki Minaj. The thing that she has with Nicki Minaj apparently was a- It was a misunderstanding during the interview. There was a song.
I think it was Motorsport.
I
think Atlantic Records. I think the record company had a lot to do with that.
Blame the white people.
Not the protagonist, but
the white people.
There's a line that Nicki Minaj said where she basically said, if Quavo's quarterback, I'm like Vince Lombardi. I can't remember the exact line. The original line to that, what she said is if Cardi is the quarterback, I'm Vince Lombardi. They get along. They have always gotten along. Now, there's been these weird experiences between
them
two.
And you think that it's the label that is behind that?
I think the label's about it. Conflict gets more.
At one point in time, you have to blame the perpetrator, the people involved.
Yeah, at the end of the day.
You guys like to blame the label, but you forget that at the end of the day, the people are the one also doing the like the same way.
Kind of like the colonizers are behind a lot of disputes that happen in Africa. But there's somebody who drives the tension.
But
there's a record label who is driving tension between black artists.
At the end of the day, your decision is yours. Nothing is stopping you from picking up the phone and calling the person and be like,
That's where we talk about the maturity. It's up to them how they want to handle it.
Who's
to say that they're not?
So because that's the same thing. Like if right now Jay-Z has a beef with somebody, you will call them and be like, dude, like what's going on? Like, what and then after that, you escalate. But you don't see this from those artists. Only thing you see is crap music. I mean, don't get me wrong.
I like Cardi B's album.
We all know you like Cardi B. We all know you love Cardi B. And for you... I can see how, you know, like I said, how she came in the industry and started imposing herself. Me personally, like I said,
she came into an industry that didn't trust her.
I feel like she is the replacement. This is what the same way you're blaming the label for. I feel like the label is like, you know what, we got tired of Nicki Minaj. We need something else. So now they got Cardi B, and they realized that okay, you know what, we're gonna get her to replace Nicki Minaj. And actually, Nicki Minaj came out with a new album. I think it's an album or a song, or whatever. But nobody really hears it. Oh,
Pause. Yeah, I'm trying to tell my. There's somebody in there.
Oh no. Man, you just gonna interrupt our stuff like that? Just
for I didn't want my brother.
We don't give a fuck, man.
I do. I didn't want my brother to go through a little situation.
See what we go. What's through. Happening? See what we go through, man. See what we go through.
I'm sorry. It's Red Cup TV. That's what we gonna do.
Anyway, we gonna.
I see you, bro.
Close that.
I see you.
We gonna gotta close that because this is gonna end up being a 3-hour podcast if we have to continue. So,
well, you got what's in my cup. You got what's in Marvin's cup.
You. Who do you pick?
Between
Cardi
who?
B. You Cardi B, right?
I can't. I love them both.
Okay. Well,
I think that Chun-Li song was below average, but
okay.
The Barbie Ting song, yeah, I'm looking. Yeah, that she shots fired towards Remy Ma for sure. But I feel like Nicki Minaj is like a fashion icon at this point. Like her ideas are fashion icon, all that other
stuff. She's pop music, so of course.
Regardless of what you call it, I take Nicki over Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah. Because it's black.
It's authentic.
Anyway, you're listening to the Red Card Podcast, and you can listen to us now on iTunes, mm-hmm. Google Play.
Yeah. Tell Taylor.
On the churn.
She shouldn't have did Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, man. You talking about who?
Taylor Swift covered
you talking about? Do you know September. That Cardi B got actually... somebody put her on blast because she literally copied lyrics from another female artist from Memphis, Tennessee. She Ghost. Put her on blast on this. It wasn't Ghost. She came out and be like, no, that was my Ghost. Lyrics. That has nothing to do with Ghost. So how you going to call her she's been real when her lyrics is not actually authentic?
I was talking about, at that point, I was talking about Nicki.
No, I'm talking about Cardi B. It's Cardi B that got put on blast.
I don't know nothing about that story.
Oh, you can check online. Her name is LaShat or whatever. She's actually the
is she
cousin.
Suing her?
Yeah. Her she's actually the cousin of Project Pat from 36 Mafia.
Okay.
And she actually was like, "Hey man, get with the program. You need to give me process. Those are my lyrics." And she literally copied the lyrics. That's not the first time Cardi B get accused of doing stuff like that. So, I'm not surprised.
Somebody writes for her.
Anyway, we're done. So, Red Cup Podcast.
Red Cup Podcast.
Where we're available before you interrupted me. So, we are available on
iTunes.
Google Play. Soon on Spotify.
Soon on Spotify.
We are on TuneIn. We are on Pocket Cast. We're pretty much everywhere. Pocket and Cast. You can catch that show also on The Beat Radio. Yes.
Yes. The Beat
Listen
House.
To the Beat House Radio.
You can catch versions of Red Cup TV on Beat House Radio. As always, you can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Red Cup TV, and then everything that this man just said that I wasn't aware of. iTunes, The Beat House. What else do we have?
We got, so you can catch us by spirit.
Yo, I'm not Ocho Cinco.
I'm NBIN.
This has been Red Cup TV. Finish your glass. We'll catch you next week.
Cheers.